This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at ArenaClub.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello again, friends. How you doing? Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As the intro just told you, I don't know why I felt compelled to say that, but yes, they were accurate on the intro. It is me. I am back. We got 4 hours on the morning show here, and what a game. What a weird, strange turn of events tonight, right? Like, coming into tonight, because obviously I knew I was going to sit down and we were going to be talking about the game first. You just have to. When it's the Nets or the Bucks, like this is, when you're thinking about what these playoffs were supposed to be, this is a monster series. I mean, this is about as big as it gets just in terms of the quality of the teams and the expectation around both of these teams. And man, I mean, you think the pressure that goes into what's happening in this series with the Bucks and the Nets, like, it's real. You know, I mean, we're looking at a Nets team that obviously you've got three of the best players in the NBA. They're all together. They're in Brooklyn. They're villains all year. They almost never play together. And you have all this expectation that, hey, it doesn't matter. Because really, I mean, with all of the time that we've spent this year knowing the Brooklyn Nets exist, whether it was before the Harden trade or after the Harden trade, seeing what that team has been, yeah, they haven't played together all that much, but they should still win. It's even been the argument, if it's only two of the three guys, they should still win, as they had all different injuries all throughout the season. They played, I believe, seven games together. Seven! They played seven games together all season long, and now here they are in the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, you better win. You better win. I don't think you're going to meet a Brooklyn fan that goes, you know, it's not a big deal this year. They're an up-and-coming team. They got time. Like, no, they need to win immediately or it is a failure. So a lot of pressure in Brooklyn. For the Bucks side of things, it's, look, they traded for Drew Holiday. They went in on Giannis even more. They were doing everything they could. Baby, I'll change. I'll lose weight. I'll have more interest in your work, friends. Whatever it is. Like, you just, they laid everything out on the table to get Giannis to stay, and he stayed. He signed the extension. But that doesn't really mean he'll stay. You know what I mean? Like, about Damian Lillard, right? Because there is a chance. We'll definitely be talking about Dame a little bit later tonight, because he just put on a power move, which was like, all right, this is spicy. Okay, the takes will fly. But for Damian Lillard, that's a guy that he just signed an extension. It's just kicking in with the Portland Trail Blazers. He could be gone this year. There's no reason to believe that he's absolutely anchored in to what they've got in Portland. No reason to believe that at all. And looking at the Bucks with all the commitments that they've made, the length of the contracts here, the extension of Giannis, if this team gets bounced, if they lose in four games, five games to the Nets, it's over. It's over. Like, I don't care how good the Nets are, it's over. And they're going to have to figure out everything. They're going to have to burn that team to the ground. And so, a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure for the Bucks. And so when you see the game and how it went, like, what a crazy game. That was one of those things. I was stunned. First minute of the game, not even first minute, James Harden drives to the net and he messes up his hamstring. Now, he had a hamstring injury earlier in the year. He missed some games because of it. And now for him to mess up his hamstring again, where he immediately, I mean, as soon as it happened, he's driving to the basket. He throws up the ball. He lands. And you can see him like uh-oh. You know, he kind of grabs at the back of his leg. And then he just walks right to the locker room. He knows exactly what happened. So they're running tests on Harden. We'll see what that is, how bad it is, how long he's out for. There's a lot of conversation around James Harden. We'll get to that later. But for the game itself, for him to go down right away, it was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this team is finally healthy. They get through the Boston series together, and now he goes down. So for everybody at home, it's a bit of a shock. And here's Kevin Durant describing how he was feeling about it.
I didn't realize what had happened until he had...
there you go. So, it's tough. It's tough for Durant. It sucks, long story short. So, here's the thing, is it does suck, right? Like, you have all these expectations, and now he's gone. 1 minute into the game, all the planning, all the preparation you have going into the series, it just goes up in smoke. But if you saw the game, and this is the crazy thing about the Nets... It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The Nets still won the game. And you know what? They were beating the Bucks pretty handily. Final score 115-107. It did not feel like that at all. And so we'll get into it. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. Did you see the game? What'd you think of the game? How do you feel about the series? Because the Nets just won and won handily without one of the three players that really matters on that team. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, thinking about this game, a couple of things really stand out here. And obviously the first thing is Harden, right? It's, okay, how long is he out for, and how important is that, and can the Nets win this series without James Harden? Now, you might go, well, they just beat him game one without him, so they don't need James Harden. I don't agree with that at all. Like, James Harden is an important piece of this equation. They've lost games to the Bucks without him in the past, and there's something to be said, because one of the real big stories tonight, one of the things that really, when you're going back and analyzing this game, you see the guys that stepped up for the Nets, and... Do you know who Mike James is? Do you know? Like, if you're not a Nets fan, have you heard of the guy? Because do you know what he's been doing? Here's the story of Mike James. He was in the league for a couple of years. Last played in 2018 in the NBA. Last couple of years, he's been overseas. He's been playing most recently in Russia. And by the way, and this is a nice little kicker to the story, he got suspended from his team in Russia for getting into some sort of incident with the head coach of the team. So he's suspended from that team. He's considered a EuroLeague MVP candidate. He then gets a 10-day contract with the Nets. They like him. They keep him around. And sure enough, he plays 30 minutes. He's got 12 points. Like, he's a massive stand-in for James Harden out of nowhere. Like, it's crazy. But that's what the Nets have been able to do, to identify this guy. He played a stretch with them. He started one game. And now here he is in the playoffs, and he makes a big impact. It's a great story for tonight. It's a great story. But also, do you believe you're going to get quality production out of Mike James all series long? If James Harden isn't playing in the series, because in the moment, there are things that will surprise you. There are games that you might have some idea of what you want to do to defend a player. But then when you see what happens in real time, and that player gets that first burst, they can overperform. But when those backup players play for extended periods of time, and that's what this is all about, right? The more minutes guys like that get, the more the warts show, the more the inefficiencies, their inability to make shots at a high rate like they do when they first come in, like that stuff all hits the average eventually. And so is it sustainable? And for the Bucks, what kind of adjustments do they make? Like, that's why the James Harden question is a big one. I think it's going to get dismissed a lot. For right now, until Game 2 plays, it's just going to be, and we'll have to see how bad it is with Harden. But it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. So, Harden matters. And wondering about the depth of the Nets and how that's going to play into this, it does matter. But for right now, Mike James, great story. Other credit to the Nets tonight. Blake Griffin. Oh, my God. Blake Griffin was great tonight. He got torched by Giannis. So that was the expectation. I don't think anybody figured he wouldn't get torched by Giannis. He got torched by Giannis. But he's going to do that. He's hitting three-pointers. You know, like he played a good game. I think he had 18 points on the night. And to see Blake Griffin put up a game like that, you're like, all right. I mean, he got a lot of run. They needed him to get a lot of run. They haven't, you know, DeAndre Jordan really hasn't played for the Nets in a little while. That's been a coach's decision. So this was your big guy going into the series. Jeff Green has been hurt as well for the Nets. That matters. So a lot of responsibility on Blake Griffin. He had a great game. How long does that sustain? Like, these are the questions. That's why, for me, I think a lot of people are going to go into this and look at the game right now and go, you know what? It's over. Like, this was an embarrassing game one for the Bucks. This is who they are. The Nets are better. And it doesn't matter what happened in the regular season, which the Bucks won those games. They went 2-1, I believe. The Nets are better, and this is their series. And you saw everything that you need to see tonight. But here's the thing with Milwaukee. And here's what I want to do, actually. Is Mike Budenholzer, head coach of the Bucks. So after the game, they were asking him about what happened with the team and why they lost. And listen to the coach.
You know, I think there was times when, you know, the defense, they were well defended. You know, we got to execute better. We got to screen for them better. We got to get them better looks. And there's times when, you know, I think they had a couple good ones. And you know, we're confident that they'll go in going forward.
So he's talking about Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and really the shooting of the Bucks overall. They couldn't hit threes. Like, that's why I'm not looking at this game and going, you know, this is clearly the one team is better than the other. I'm not going to overreact to this. I'm not saying the series is over by any stretch of the imagination. Like, tonight does not change how I felt about this series 24 hours ago. It just doesn't. I went into this thinking this is a heavyweight matchup. This is a series that could very well go seven. And as much as it was a weird twist today, like, this was not a game that people would really expect, where James Harden goes out in the first minute and the Nets win anyway, win handily anyway. But the Bucks went 6 of 30 from 3, okay? They went 6 of 30. They hit 20% of their threes. So it's a horrible night. You know, it's just one of those things where the shots weren't falling. They're not that bad of a shooting team. I don't think Chris Middleton hit a 3 all night. I'm pretty sure he was 0 for 5. So, Chris Middleton ain't going 0 for 5 every single night. You know, like, it's just that is not happening. So, I'm looking at the series, and as much as all the pressure and really the doubt, I mean, the doubt definitely leans on the Bucks more. You've seen the Bucks for the most part. Drew Holiday is a really good addition. It's a really good addition. But it's not James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Two of those three guys winning titles. It's not the same thing. That's a new team with guys that are proven. The Bucks are not that. So people are going to pile on the Bucks. That's my feeling on this, at least. And that's why I'd love to talk to you about it. Like, what'd you make of the game? How do you feel about the Bucks-Nets series here? Is it over? Do you think it's a sweep? Do you think the Harden injury is a catastrophe and everything's going to change for the Bucks' favor? Like, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. You can also get in. Just hit me up on Twitter, at It's Vince Quinn. I'm happy to read tweets, and I try to get back to everybody on there. So, It's Vince Quinn. We'll go to Tony, and I got to hit the button first and actually get him on the board. Tony, hello. What's going on?
How you doing, Vince?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Well, I'm a Raptor fan, but I also like Milwaukee. I think everybody's a little hard on Milwaukee and Giannis. So I look at it this way. You see the teams when they win the championship. It's all these super clubs now. Even when Toronto won it, we brought Kawhi here. And we got over the top. Golden State, the Lakers, you name it. It's teams that are just stacked. Now, the expectation is Milwaukee. You have Giannis, and that's about it. As a superstar, there's no one else. And they're expected, if they didn't win, it must be Giannis is not good enough, or the team has to be totally disassembled. No, how about they're the same as every other club? You need to supply another superstar and their peripheral stars, and you're going to win. Otherwise, you know what? Forget it. And it's like winning the lottery to win with just one superstar in your team.
Well, here's the thing, Tony. I mean, what are the odds that the Bucks can go and get a guy like that? Because part of the thing is really, like, it is Milwaukee. I hate to say it, but it does matter.
Yeah.
If you're going to Milwaukee and that's the city, it's going to be harder to sell than New York, L.A., Miami, whatever. So that's the kind of thing you deal with. Also, is Giannis the guy at this point that other superstars believe can win a title? Like, if I'm like in the ballpark as a regular season player, if I'm like close to being as good as Giannis, do I believe that I want to hitch my wagon to him? Or, for example, if Portland is trying to make moves now and Damian Lillard's recruiting people, if I can, as a superstar of that caliber, choose where I go, I'm probably going to Portland before I go to Milwaukee. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of the problem they've got.
I hear you. I think what it is, you got to look at the personality of the superstar. You know what, let's say, I don't know, I don't want to pick any other names, I'll just speak for myself, maybe for you or whatever, but we seem like maybe more down-to-earth, simplistic people, and I'd say, you know what, I want to go play where there's a lot of stability, and I want to join Giannis that seems like a stable figure, a level-headed, very polite, good guy, and he's going to stick around for another 10 years there, so you know what, I'm going to move there, my family's going to like it, and I got some stability. If it's that type of superstar, I think there's a good chance. If it's the one that's just looking for, I got to win a ring, doesn't matter where I go, I don't care if I like the town or not, then yeah, it's a low chance.
Well, and that's the tough thing. And Tony, I appreciate it, man. Like, that is the problem with the Bucks. Here's the thing, too. I do want to get a little bit more to Giannis on the other side, because I got some thoughts about him. He had a great game tonight. He had a really solid game. He had like 34 points, 11 rebounds. I mean, he did Giannis things, which is exactly what you expect him to do against the Nets. So, what to make of Giannis and what this series means, I want to get to more of that on the other side. But again, if you want to hop in, if you want to talk about the series, like, let's talk about it. What else are we doing? It's late at night, like, we're hanging out. So, 855-212-4227. That's how you join, 855-212-4227.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It ain't no joke, I'd like to buy the world a token. Teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And teach the world to snuff the fires and the liars. Hey, I know it's just a song, but it's fine for the recipe. This is a love attack. I know when our body's back, it's just like any fat. It retracts before impact.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, I got to tell you, one of the favorite things that I've witnessed through the NBA playoffs so far, Jay Crowder. What? Really? With all the things in the NBA playoffs, Vince? Jay Crowder? Are you sure? Really? Jay Crowder? Yes. Jay Crowder. Allow me to explain. The heat that Jay Crowder has been throwing towards the Lakers has been nothing short of phenomenal. It's been great. He took a shot at AD in the ring, which is fine. I mean, the guy won a title, and he's basically like, yeah, that ring's whatever. And then after beating and in the process of officially putting the nail in the Lakers' coffin, there's this moment where Jay Crowder is on the court. And if you hadn't seen it, and I got to be honest, I have not seen this commercial, but apparently LeBron is in a Mountain Dew ad, and he does a salsa dance in a Mountain Dew ad, so Graceffo's seen it, he's nodding. But Jay Crowder's on the court at the end of game six, and he's doing LeBron's salsa dance from the commercial. It's great. There he is. He just la-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you see that. You see the trash talk to AD. And then let me pull this thing up, because there was a moment afterwards where LeBron, as they were getting ready for the playoff push and he was getting ready to come back, he had put out some statement. Let me see what the exact statement is. I got this in front of me in just a second. It's all fun and games until the bunny got the gun.
What?
Yeah, which is that like a Bugs Bunny thing? I really don't know. But it's all fun and games until the rabbit, either way, until the rabbit got the gun. So then that's a LeBron tweet from May 7th. And then.
Can't understand a word.
Yeah, I can't either. But Jay Crowder, after winning the series, goes to Instagram. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Can't understand a word.
It's great. And the picture that's posted from Jay Crowder is him with this, like, really skeptical. He's like, yeah, I don't understand what the words mean. So he
can't understand a word.
There you go. So that's what he looks like. He's got that kind of look on his face. Jay Crowder does. And he's looking at LeBron in the shot. Like, to have that and ain't no fun till the rabbit got the gun. And he's quoting LeBron is like, it's so funny. It's one of those things that really, you know, a lot of people, they say they miss in sports. It's always there. It's a little different now. It's not as common now. But this is like that classic kind of spite that you like in sports from time to time. You like seeing rivalries like this. You know, I was talking with some guys the other day. These guys do a sports history podcast. So it's called In the Zone, for what it's worth. But these guys, they were doing a whole thing on the Colorado Avalanche and the Red Wings in the 90s, and how there was all this bad blood between those teams for a couple of years. And, like, that kind of animosity makes the games great before they even happen. You know what I mean? Like, how these two groups of guys that don't like each other can just, it really adds something, that personal element. Because a lot of times, yeah, they come out and, hey, we're all competing and we're all in this together and we're all players at the end of the day and we're just trying to get along and it is what it is. No, this is like, I don't like this guy. I want to beat this guy. And now that I have beaten him, I'm going to trash talk this guy like crazy.
You're a clown.
So, yeah, like, Jay Crowder goes after LeBron in a big way. Now, here's the other thing. This is part of the LeBron James experience in a lot of different ways. It's, you get the report in the past, like, 24 hours, the reports come out that LeBron's ankle was estimated, you know, because whatever percentages mean, but it was like 85%. So he's not fully there. Now, some people are going to hear this. You know, sources are telling us that LeBron James' ankle is 85%. And those people will go, ugh. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense to you? There's something about LeBron that gets people to, they're just exhausted by it. Something about him just grates on people. He's not necessarily like a nasty guy, and he does a lot of great community work. But if you ask your average fan, fitting example is just a couple of weeks ago when he got hit in the eye, and he said he was seeing three rims. And And so many people were like, oh, here's LeBron again, like saying that he's hurt and like making this all dramatic. And that's the LeBron James experience. It's, oh, here he is again. And it's that groan. I was literally, so can we do this? Let's just play this, Graceffo, because this is LeBron James. They asked him after the series was over if he's going to play in the Olympics.
I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. I think that's what that's my focus on trying to beat the Monstars, or the Goon Squad, we call them now. So didn't have much success versus Sun, so now I am gearing my attention to the Goon Squad here in July, mid-July. So
Graceffo's listening
the rest
to this.
About a month, and then I'm going to gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs.
That's the rabbit with the gun, by the way.
So hopefully see y'all at the match.
So I'm at, like, during the commercial break, I was like, yo, Graceffo, LeBron said this thing, can you get the cut for me? And he's like, yeah, hold on. And so as we're talking, I can see him as he's listening to it. And he literally goes, oh, I got it. Like, but that's the LeBron experience. And, like, Jay Crowder is totally the same way. That's exactly what it feels like. He just goes, like, you just, ugh. Like, it. And I think for the people that like LeBron, it's one of those things where, like, I appreciate and totally respect LeBron James as the player, and he's got some things off the court that I don't necessarily agree with, but he's done plenty of things off the court that I do. And when you think about being a megastar like he is and the responsibilities that he has because of that and the eyeballs on him, he handles the gig really well, you know? But there's still this element of just, like, as much as I respect that, it's just, ugh.
It's like a Roethlisberger thing. Roethlisberger wastes no time telling you how hurt he was every time he gets hurt. Like, oh, I just had entire reconstructive elbow surgery, as you wonder why I can't throw the ball downfield with much proficiency anymore. He's like, Ben, we know. He's like, it's the same thing with LeBron. Like, LeBron needs to tell you every injury in case you don't know, or you've lived under a rock, or you haven't followed the NBA in the past month.
Well, yeah, and he does. And here's the thing, though. On some level, he does, though. Like, he does need to say it. As much as it's a groaning thing, it's like he's always going to get crushed regardless, because it's like, oh, well, you're LeBron. Yes, you're hurt, but you're LeBron James. You need to be able to carry the team by yourself. And it's like, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. If he's actually that injured at his age, to play, I mean, the guy, if his ankle's at 85%, he is no Anthony Davis, the team's not that good around him anyway, and he's putting up like 29, 9, and 7 in an elimination game, that's pretty good. That's like, you would take that from a 36, 37-year-old any day of the week. For LeBron James, that is a solid game, but they lose, and they lose the series. And it's just like, oh, well, there's LeBron. He's falling off a cliff. He's not the lead guy anymore. It's just like, he's putting it out there because he's getting that kind of heat because he has such high expectations. So he feels compelled, like, people are ripping me, but I'm hurt. You know, like, I'm hurt. You got to acknowledge the fact that I'm hurt. There are very few players that I've ever seen that have been hurt, and it's ignored in the same way that it happens with LeBron. So he feels compelled to do that. But also, when he does it, everybody just goes, ugh. It's just this weird, endless cycle of the LeBron experience. But seeing all this with Jay Crowder after the series went, it was just like, it was wild, man. It's been an interesting, wacky 24 hours with all that. But let's go to the phones here. First, let's get a little more of this LeBron stuff with Daniel. Daniel in South Carolina. What's up, man?
Hey, bud. Glad you guys are doing great, and great job with the show, by the way. Y'all are extremely entertaining. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
For letting me on. I kind of want to echo a little bit of what you said. LeBron and the Ben, and I don't hate Ben at all, but to echo what you said, the whole, he's got to let you know how hurt he is. Well, that's true. But also, LeBron, you built the entire roster and picked the coach yourself. So, I mean, you kind of brought this on yourself in that way. But
fair,
to the relevant point for him, I mean, you've been in the league so long. He's got the kind of athleticism and the size that, as everyone said, ad nauseum, we've never seen before. I mean, he's got a kind of a luxury that someone like Jay Crowder, they don't. And Jay Crowder is someone who's got enough name recognition and star power to where he can, like, if you say the name Jay Crowder, people are like, oh, yeah, I know him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys who don't have that, who have to play against LeBron or with him, and they don't have the same kind of, they don't have that luxury to where a series ends and they can say, well, you know, I was hurt. And I get it. I'm sure that he was. But everybody is hurt. It's a playoff this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that guy that goes, oh, well, there's no excuses, because that's kind of a cop-out excuse on its own. But he has kind of a luxury, which is to what you were talking about, kind of it can be a target for him.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of a luxury.
And that,
he could
that's
say,
the
well,
weird
I was
thing.
Only 85%, but you know, his supporters, people who love him, say, oh, he's 85%. People who don't like him will say, well, it's the same old crap that we've been hearing for years and years and years.
Yeah, and the cycle goes on and on, Daniel. Like, that's just what it is. And that's what's so weird about the LeBron experience at this point. Like, it's just become this almost cartoonish caricature
it's kind of
thing. Yeah, it's crazy. And I appreciate the call, Daniel. Thanks, man. Let's go to Kareem in California. Kareem, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. So I want to get to, I'm going to talk about Giannis real quick, but I'm also going to get on the LeBron situation.
Okay, we got like 2 minutes, just so you know. So I got a heart out in 2 minutes, so fire away.
It's all good. I'm going to make it happen. So the thing about Giannis, I mean, New Jersey, they stack. You know, they got three guys that can get you 100, you know what I'm saying, to themselves. Giannis got to develop a elbow jumper, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, they're going to box him in. If he don't got any perimeter, you know, game, then once you play a team 4 to 7 times, they're going to scheme him. They're going to take him out. And if he have a bad shooting night, you know, I think this series is going to be 5, maybe 6. It won't go 7. The experts talking about 7, but I doubt it goes 7. And that's my take on Giannis. Now, the thing about LeBron and the Lakers, here's the thing. First, AD, he got to invest in the offseason and his conditioning and keep himself to the point where he won't be broke up throughout the year. I know it was a quick turnaround coming out the bubble and everything like that, but he's from New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? He was injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? So he got to invest. LeBron invest $2 million in his body in the offseason. AD got to take it further than that. And here's another thing about the Lakers, because I am a Laker fan, but I'm a realist. Even if AD was healthy, I still think Phoenix was the better team. They wanted it more. They outplayed us. You know, 4 out of 6 games. You know, AD did have 34-10 in 2 games that we won. But D-Book, take this, 25 and under. D-Book, Tatum, and Luka is the future. They are superstars. You know what I'm saying? But in the offseason, the Lakers need to get perimeter shooting, and then they got rid of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, and they don't have no interior defensive athletic bigs, and that's what killed them.
Yeah.
Now, telling stat in this series against Phoenix, they shot 33% in wide open threes, and that's why I think it's going to be Utah and Brooklyn for the, you know, finals, because Utah got perimeter shooting. They got Gobert in the middle, and Mitchell is D-Wade 2.0. He's a dog out there. So
yeah,
I like Utah. And
all right, Kareem, that's it, man. I hit my limit, but I appreciate it. That was a good call. He's got numbers and like he came ready to play, so I appreciate the call. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. This lovely morning show continues for 3 more hours. You can hit me up at It's Vince Quinn if you want to hop in there as well. Coming up next, crazy moment in golf, as well as Damian Lillard. What's happening there?
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, fresh from dog sitting, Vince Quinn here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I watched a couple of puppies today. That was fun. I did not expect that. It's my girlfriend's birthday. A couple of puppies showed up with a friend of hers. I was like, all right, I guess I'm hanging out with some puppies today. And sure enough, I did. Beautiful thing. But I'm tired and coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So we've been talking a little bit about the Bucks and the Nets series, with really the main couple of things here being that, you know, James Harden's hurt. And we got to see where that goes. We got to see everything that happens with James Harden. How bad is the hamstring injury? He had it before. Now he's re-aggravated. It's a hamstring. Like, that is a delicate thing. And so, big time problem for the Nets. We'll see if there's, I doubt there's going to be any updates at this hour, but if there's updates, we'll keep you posted. I'm checking Twitter and we'll see what happens. Other stuff going on in that series, wondering about what this means. I mean, for the Nets to win that game without James Harden, some people are going to look at that and go, that's all you need to see. And I got to tell you, I don't buy into that at all. As bad as this game looked, and for the Bucks, that was a bad look. It's a bad look. Losing to a team where James Harden played less than a minute. He played, I think, 43 seconds and then left the game with the hamstring. For them to lose that game, and the final score doesn't look that bad. It's 115-107. It was way worse than that. Last couple of minutes, Thanasis Antetokounmpo was in the game, and it was the end of the game was weird, by the way. If you saw the end of the game, like, there was some stuff between him and Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin sets a screen. Thanasis runs, like, just runs right into him. Like, if you've ever seen a bird fly into a glass window, like, that's what it looked like. And Blake Griffin got called with the foul, then on the other end of the floor at some point, after Blake and Thanasis are going back and forth a little bit, Thanasis goes to the net, he falls over, and Blake Griffin, like, kind of looked at him, put his foot into him a little bit, and then stepped over him. Like, it was getting chippy there at the end of that game. There was some bad blood that was starting to brew a little bit. But, again, the main point being that, like, it just wasn't a close game. You could feel that the Nets were in control for really the whole second half. And does that mean the Bucks are done? No. The main thing that I took away from tonight was that the Bucks couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't hit a shot to save their lives. They were terrible shooting tonight. And for the Nets, they were hot. Like the other guys. Because you expect Kevin Durant to hit shots. You expect Kyrie Irving to hit shots. But when Mike James is coming in and playing 30 minutes and hitting a lot of shots for the Nets, when Blake Griffin's hitting threes, like, it's just a different dynamic. And so they were getting that production from their other guys. Joe Harris had a really good game for them. And for the Bucks, they just didn't really have that. It was Giannis, it was Brooke Lopez, and it was basically nobody else. Just a disappointing night. So if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227. I want to get to a crazy thing that's been going on with the Memorial Tournament in golf in a second. Just, like, totally nuts. But first, let's go to Curtis in Indianapolis. Curtis, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Well, certainly the first half was something to watch if you're a Bucks fan. That was going just fine. Harden's out. You think that can't do us any harm. And then the second half, like you said, came around, and Brooklyn was dominating us the whole second half. I think the key is going to be shooting, just like you said. Can Middleton come around and shoot? Can Holiday shoot from three? Can Brooke Lopez have another repeat performance from what he just did? Giannis was great, and until Kawhi Leonard steps on the floor for Brooklyn, I don't see anybody stopping him. He's the only guy that's been stopping Giannis for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So it'll be about how well Giannis plays defense as needed on Durant. Kyrie Irving, if you have to, put him out there on him. But it'll be all about the shooting. And this is the series we've been waiting for all season. Since the disappointing result last year, losing to Miami, Milwaukee fans have been waiting for this series all year long. So I don't know how this is going to go. I certainly don't think that we're dead, but this is a tough matchup.
Yeah, it is a tough matchup, and it really is what the season's all about. Curtis, I appreciate it, man. Like, it was going into the playoffs, and as everything was starting to fall into place, you were figuring out what all the seeds were. It was, okay, who's going to get the one spot? Is it the Sixers or the Nets? And then whoever's the two and three seeds, whoever's going to play the Bucks, basically, who wins that series and plays the one seed in the conference finals? So it's this series, it's next series, but you've been waiting for this all year. It felt like these were the three teams, and it was everybody else. Like, the Knicks had a nice season. Good for them. Nobody believed they were going anywhere from the jump, and as much as they played far above expectations, nobody expected them to win a title. Hawks made some moves, made a lot of moves. Fired the coach in the middle of the season, in part because they made those moves and had expectation. Nobody's believing the Hawks are a finals team. If the Hawks get bounced in, say, five games, I don't think anybody's going, oh, what a disappointment for the Hawks. They won a playoff series. Like, they won a tough playoff series against the Knicks. That was a good accomplishment for them, but that's just where they are right now. So this is the heavyweight battle. This is the team you've had for a while. This is the coach you've had for a while. You got to go and win. If you're Milwaukee, like, it's time to lose to the Heat last year and now sweep them this year. Like, it's time. And if they can't do it now, man, it's just, it's a mess. It's going to be a mess in Milwaukee. Now, 855-212-4227. So, this was crazy. Golf's got a lot of crazy things going on right now, by the way. You've got the whole, which I want to get into a little bit later because the whole thing is completely insane. Have you seen the latest developments in the Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau thing, Graceffo? Like, the last 24 hours, have you seen any of the nonsense going on with all of that?
Oh, sure.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of heckling, it would seem.
Yes, a lot of heckling.
And was somebody, like, egged on to do the heckling by someone else, you know.
Well, yeah, and now those people have actually been encouraged to heckle more. I want to get
big
the
conspiracy theory here, I feel.
No, well, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's on the record. We'll get
oh,
to
we know
later.
It's on the record?
That yes.
Someone was egged on to heckle someone else?
Well, now they are.
I see.
Now the people are being egged on to heckle. So that's something with Koepka and DeChambeau. We'll get to that in an hour. Like, I want to talk about that a little bit later. But their rivalry is fun. Like, just the beef with them is fun. I got to tell you, I'm not somebody that goes to golf. Golf comes to me. Like, once in a while, there's things that pop up and I can get locked in and be like, all right, I dig this about the PGA Tour for whatever reason. And this is something that absolutely sticks. But a thing that came to me and really just, you feel awful when you see it. So John Rahm, who second-ranked golfer in the world, playing at the Memorial Tournament, he's leading by 6 strokes. So significant lead there. And he, by the way, won the Memorial Tournament last year. So this guy, as he's leading the tournament again, he finds out that he's tested positive for COVID, and now they have to remove him from the tournament. And you can see that there's video out there of the moment when they tell the guy. You can actually watch somebody from the PGA Tour who has to go out to him on the golf course and explain to him, sorry, man, you tested positive, and we got to take you out. And the tough thing is, because obviously you're going to ask a lot of questions about that. What if it's a false positive and all this different stuff? Contact tracing had them telling this guy, John Rahm, they told him on Monday there was a possibility through contact tracing that he could get sick. So he knew about this for a couple of days. They kept testing him, positive or negative, like Monday, negative, Tuesday, negative, Wednesday, negative. And then here you go on Saturday, and he tests positive. And so now they got to take him out of the tournament. He's gone. And, like, you see the guy. I mean, you just see the guy, like, break. You know? You just see it. I mean, he's bent over. You can see the tears, the way he's rubbing on his face. And you just feel for the guy. Like, honestly, whether you like golf or not, if you can't watch a moment like that and feel for somebody who's a competitor on that level, I mean, dedicating their life to it, and to be leading the tournament, to have the expectation, having done it before, and the success, the feel, the thrill of that, and obviously the money that goes with it, and to see that all taken away, not because he's hurt, not because his body failed him, not because he played poorly, he made mistakes, or somebody just outplayed him, but to have that happen because he tested positive, it's just that sucks. And one of the things that's going on with that is, you know, now there's all the speculation like, oh, he should have gotten the vaccine. I have no idea if he got vaccinated or not. And, you know, vaccines, it's not like you're impervious, like, oh, I'm going to dive into a pool of COVID and I can't get it. Like, no, it's a percentage that limits your chances. He might have gotten the vaccine and it still happened that he tested positive. That can happen. So it's just one of those things where I don't know where it is with any of that with the vaccine. I'm not going to tell you either way whether he did or he didn't, because I don't know. If he wants to call in and tell me, John, you're welcome to call in and tell me. But it's just either way, it's really unfortunate that it happened to him, and you really feel for the guy. So just an awful, awful moment that happened in the Memorial Tournament. But something on the other side of things, going back to the NBA, because you look at what's happening in Portland. Portland is blowing it up. Terry Stotts got fired. He's been there for a long time. He is a well-tenured coach, and they let him go. Now, why did Terry Stotts get fired? Well, because the team, they've hit a peak. It's abundantly obvious to everybody everywhere that that team is stuck. Who they are, what they've been with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and you know some of the different rotating guys this year, Norman Powell they added to the team. It's just, it's not enough. Melo, it's just not enough. And now they get bounced in the first round. I played it for you the other night. If you were listening, I was in for Amy Lawrence the other day. They... This year, Norman Powell, they added to the team. It's just, it's not enough. Melo, it's just not enough. And now they get bounced in the first round. I played it for you the other night. If you were listening, I was in for Amy Lawrence the other day. They asked Dame after the game, after they got wiped out by the Nuggets. They're like, so how do you feel about all this? And he goes, well, we haven't won a championship, and we just lost to the Nuggets. They're missing both of their starting guards with the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard, after Terry Stotts got fired, requested, he leaked to the media who he wants as the next head coach. This is on the record that Damian Lillard wants, of all people, Jason Kidd to be the head coach of the Trailblazers, which at first is like, come on, man. Really? Like, Damian Lillard's got such a big moment here. This is the moment. Like, if he's going to try to say, because you get into these situations where superstars, a lot of times, they leave, right? They just leave. It doesn't work. They want out. They get out. And that's what they do. He's got a situation where he can make it work. He can say, hey, I've got leverage here. Everything that I've been doing, the league loves me. Fans across the league love me. I am a superstar. I am a transcendent player. I've been doing everything. You guys haven't done enough for me. And now it's my turn to start calling some shots around here. That's what he's doing. This is a big moment for him. And whether or not he's successful in this power struggle is going to have some say over whether or not he stays, right? Because he might say, my first option, just thinking logically here, his first option is, I'm going to stay in Portland. I'm going to try to execute, you know, a plan here to get some control of the organization. I'm going to start running the team a little bit more my way, and I'm going to do that here. But if, you know, it doesn't work out, and they're not exactly hiring the coach that I want, and it doesn't seem to be going in the direction that I really want, well, then I'm going to just ask for a trade, and somebody's going to trade for me. Like, there was a tweet, there was a report, it was like, yeah, multiple teams are monitoring whether or not Damian Lillard will get traded. It's like everybody on the planet Earth is monitoring whether or not he wants to get traded. Of course, it's whether or not he's actually available or he wants to go anywhere. But if he doesn't get any say in the equation or not enough of the say in the equation, then yeah, he's going to want out. But making your first move in the power play, Jason Kidd? Like, really, Jason Kidd? Are we really going down the Jason Kidd avenue? He's got a good relationship, Vince. They're both from Oakland. Okay. Well, what about Brooklyn? And what happened in Brooklyn? And what about Milwaukee? And what he was in Milwaukee? Like, that's, you could get anybody in the world. There's, like, if you could get so many different coaches, if you can get all these names that are out there, guys like Chauncey Billups, for example. Chauncey Billups is a guy that should totally be in the running to get a head coaching job. Sam Cassell is a guy right now that has a chance to get a head coaching job. And to go, yeah, you know, we need the Jason Kidd experience part three. It's like, it's just not the best pitch. It's not the best pitch. He's got a big moment here.
You got to pick somebody better than Jason Kidd. So I thought that was a mistake on his part. But I totally get why he's going for it. Like, at this point, Lillard should call some shots. And really, here's the other thing, too. For the Trailblazers, think about how much they blew it. They blew it, man. I mean, you had a superstar player of his caliber, and he's let everything ride. I bet he's got, you know, I can't imagine he's completely quiet behind it. It's not like he's never said a word. Like, let's be real. But also, he's not coming out and making public statements all the time. Terry Stotts has been there for a long time. That's all been rolling. CJ McCollum has been there the whole time. That's his guy. Like, this whole thing has been moving along. He's had some level of trust and belief in the organization that they could make it work. He was hoping that they could do this. He was like, this was the, if you're the traditional sports fan, you know, you hate the trend of NBA players today, then you could look at what was happening in Portland and be like, this is something I could root for. This is a little more classic, if you will. Well, it ain't classic anymore. It is thoroughly modern. And for Portland, they wasted the opportunity. So now you're in a power struggle. Now your superstar in his highest moment of leverage here. Well, not highest because he signed an extension. But really, I mean, what does it matter? In this moment where he's as popular as can be, anybody in the league wants to trade for him. He's 31 years old. Like, he's throwing Jason Kidd at you now. So what's going to happen in Portland? I have no idea. The power grab thing is not surprising, but the suggestion of Kidd was just like, I have no idea how this is going to go. And if you're Portland, can you say yes to that? Like, really, can you go, yes, Damian Lillard, we will go with Jason Kidd? And if you go and make that choice versus all the other coaches out there, I mean, what are you doing for the team? Do you really think Jason Kidd's going to be the best guy? And if you don't think he's going to be the best guy, do you go against Damian Lillard and his own self-interest? You know, him saying, I want Kidd, do you go against him? Can you convince him? Yeah, oh, it is Sam Cassell. Oh, it is Chauncey Billups. Oh, it is Becky Hammond. Whoever it might be. Can you do that? Like, it's going to be complicated. This offseason with Portland is going to be very complicated, very interesting. And yes, everybody is watching and monitoring this situation. So anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. Happy to talk with you. Let's talk NBA playoffs. Let's talk about what's been going on in the PGA Tour. Like, we can get into all that stuff.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, I got to admit this as well. Me and Graceffo have just been talking through the whole break. I got to admit this to you. I almost called you James. I almost said, I don't know if I've called you James maybe twice. When, like, we first started working together, you're always Graceffo. But I had this thought of, like, okay, what if I just didn't show up, like, mid-show, what if I just, we hit the commercial break, and I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back, and then I just, like, walked away. Like, I walked down the street, I went to Taco Bell, I got myself something to eat, and, like, we just came back from break. Like, what
would you do? You don't know how many times I've had the exact same thought.
Yeah.
But instead of going to Taco Bell, I just went home.
Yeah, you just leave the show, you go home. Now,
and not come back.
I could theoretically execute the show like that. Now, I don't want to cost you your job, but
you could.
I wouldn't be able to take calls, really. I wouldn't screen any calls. It would just be somebody called, I'm immediately putting them on live, and we'll just figure it out.
Yeah, that'll go well.
It would go sometimes well, and sometimes horrifically bad. So, it would be complicated in that way.
You know how many times I've had that thought where I was like, meh, we're in commercial, I'm going to go home now.
Yeah, specifically during this show, I would assume as well.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yes, especially for this one. It's just like, yeah, what am I doing here? Like, I so many things in my life. I went to school. I had potential and dreams. Here, I'm watching Vince talk about God knows what.
You know what? I actually, like, hung out with friends tonight that I did earlier before I came here.
Yeah, you didn't have to leave. Hey, sorry, guys, I got to go to work. Nope.
Yeah, I know. They're like, what? Really? Now?
With Vince? Who?
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, no, I got to go now. This is not great. Believe me, it's not ideal for me either.
Yeah, because like some of the times
and you make how much?
Yeah,
nah, you don't want to know.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But this beer's on you. 855-212-4227 is how you join the show. Because for now, Graceffo is here. He didn't go home, and we can screen the calls.
You never know. 4:30 might roll around, and I just don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, then you just start popping people up live, and I'll get the hint. But we'll go. We'll figure that out when we get there. For now, let's talk to John in San Diego. John, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
I
want
to talk to you guys about Julio Jones and his potential landing spot.
Okay.
We were talking about how he wants to go somewhere where they could throw it deep downfield. And I really don't see anyone that could do that better or example that better than Justin Herbert and the San Diego Chargers. Right?
Okay, so I hear you on that. Herbert can get it down the field. But the only question is, are the Chargers a contender? Which I've wanted to believe they are the last couple of years. But I don't know. I really don't know. And now they just went through a coaching change. So I'll say this. Your problem is, John, if you got to convince Julio Jones that your new guy that he hasn't seen yet in a head coach capacity, you got to convince him that that's the guy. And can you make that? So, like, do you believe right now they're a legit contender? Do you expect how far do you expect the Chargers to go this year?
Well, offensively, I do think so. I mean, that offline got way beefed up. They went from a skirt steak to like a tomahawk. and if they had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Julio Jones at the lineup, it sounds good, you know.
It would be like the best receiving core in the league. I mean, that's a group right there.
But defensively, that's where the issue comes, and they need to prove that. So that's the only bad part.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing with them, because they've had times where, man, like certain years you go into the season, and John, I appreciate it, man. Like you look at the team, you go, man, you got Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and what those guys can do, and then Derwin James gets into the conversation, but he gets hurt, and yeah, like now Melvin Ingram's out, and it's just the whole dynamic of that side is just, I just don't know. I just don't know. I like the Chargers. I love Herbert, and maybe... You know, if they are, because here's the thing, too. Julio Jones, it's not the NBA. It's not. It's not the same thing. You can't just, you don't have as much leeway to deny other teams. So, if the trade package comes through and the Chargers have the best deal, you take it, right? Like, of all the places you could end up is Julio Jones. If you end up, you spin the wheel, and you land on the Chargers, it's like, all right, yeah, I could do this. I can make it work. So... 855-212-4227. We got Solomon in Cleveland. Hello, Solomon.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, all right, cool. I just want to talk about where I think Julio Jones should go.
Sure.
My thing is I don't understand, I know you guys are talking about Seattle and everything. I don't understand why every time Baltimore isn't at the front of the conversation. And this is coming from, like, a huge Browns fan. Like, I understand, like, Lamar isn't the most dynamic passer in the world, but if Julio Jones wants to win, if I was him, I would go to Baltimore. Like, if I was the GM at Baltimore, I'd give up, like, 2 second-round picks and Hollywood Brown, because I don't feel like Hollywood Brown's doing much there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why they're not, like, chomping at the bit to get him.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'd gotten a call because I was talking about the receivers for the Ravens maybe like a week ago, and somebody called in like, yeah, they drafted all these young guys, and like that's what they're trying to do. But, yeah, I'm with you because you know what I think about, Solomon? I think about the Bills. And, you know, Josh Allen, like totally inaccurate or inconsistent. He's all over the place. They get Stephon Diggs. He throws it to Stephon Diggs. Now, he got better anyway as a quarterback, but he threw to Stephon Diggs all day, every day, all season long. And what do you know? Diggs has a ridiculous season. Allen's as accurate as he's ever been. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league. And what would it do for Lamar Jackson if he got Julio Jones? I would love to see it. I mean, just from being on the outside, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I'd like to see it, too. I feel like it'll make Lamar better. I feel like that'll make, the Ravens even more of a contender. I understand, like, you know, they'll still be more of a, you know, run-heavy team, the Ravens. But, like, even if Julio Jones is on the field, I feel like it's the same thing with OBJ with the Browns. You have to respect him being on the field. So that adds a whole other dynamic to the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I appreciate the call, man. I mean, we just had a – think about this, okay? This is something that I respect the hell out of Solomon. That guy, he just called in. He is a Cleveland Browns fan. He said, I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan. I would like to see Julio Jones on the Ravens. Like, that's respect. That's a guy who loves the sport. You know what I mean? Like, that's impressive. Good for him. And again, thanks for the call. I got to get to this NBA thing real quick. I got so many stories I want to get to. There's so many. One of them's not a sports story that if I don't go through this story at some point tonight, I'm going to explode, which is kind of a hint. But Magic Johnson, if you didn't see this, it was great. So Dennis Schroeder is a notable player for the Lakers. They brought him in to be a big player, starting player, be alongside LeBron, handle the ball, hit some threes. He was not a good three-point shooter this year. He went down a good bit. And he had moments. I mean, he had the missed layup. I think it was game five. He missed that layup at the end of the game. And then LeBron was just like, yep, that's it. I'm done for the night. And he just didn't show up on the other side of the floor. He just didn't go back to play defense. It was like, all right. He did that a couple of times, by the way. I saw LeBron at the end of game six, and he stopped playing defense altogether. And the game was over, and it was fine. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But I didn't realize he had done it in the first half as well. He had a couple of possessions where he just didn't go back at all and play defense. It's like, dude, you're LeBron James. It's the first half of the game. It's not over yet. And it's just weird to see him just like, yeah, it's not even like he was, you know, slow jogging. You know, like you ever hear the phrase man jog? Like Nicolas Cage man jogging in movies and all that. Like, it wasn't even that. It wasn't like that, just like slowly chugging along. Like, the play happens, it's a miss. LeBron stands there, and the play moves, and LeBron's standing there, and then maybe he takes a step or two, and like, he just casually, nice and easy, nowhere to be. It's a Sunday afternoon. I'm living my life. Like, he just, like 20 seconds later, now you see LeBron cross half court. It was like, wait, what? Like, what was he doing? It was in the first half of an elimination game. That was crazy. That was crazy to me. But anyway, Dennis Schroeder, not exactly what the Lakers expected and not exactly what they needed when they traded for him. And so Magic Johnson had some things to say about him. Quote, Schroeder, I don't think he's a Laker. That's just my opinion. I don't know if they're going to sign him back or not. I don't think he brings the winning mentality and attitude that we need. Oh, my God. He's a free agent right now.
You're a loser.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said. That's pretty much what he said. He had a chance to show that in this series, and to me, he failed in this series. Pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. I mean, it's Magic Johnson we're talking about.
You're now going to be looked at as a loser. You're a loser now.
How do you bring him back? Right? Like, it's one of those things where just, how do you, because it is Magic Johnson. It's not just from the idea that it's Lakers legend Magic Johnson. It's former Lakers executive, knows everybody in the building, has probably talked to everybody in the building and mentioned Schroeder at one point or another during the playoff run here. Like, it had to have come up. And here he is, the guy's been a free agent for like 24 hours. He's not even technically a free agent, but the contract is over, right? Like, the season ends, and immediately, I mean, he can't wait. The guy who loves to put out tweets like, yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers play basketball. They didn't play basketball well. Tough basketball. Bad basketball. Good basketball by the Suns. Like, that's the kind of stuff you get from Magic. The deep, insightful things. And then he races out as soon as the season's over to be like, yep, this guy can't play. I don't think he's a Laker. Losing mentality, all this kind of.
You're the ultimate loser.
He trashed him. And to think that Schroeder, because from the reports I've read, they at one point offered him something like 4 years, $48 million, and he turned that down. It was like a substantial offer, and he turned that deal down, and now you have this happen, and now he's going to be a free agent. And let's be real, the Lakers are going to make some significant changes. Whether they need to or not, they're going to make significant moves because the clock's ticking. Like, we've always known that at some point LeBron is going to have those struggles. He's going to deal with injuries. And now you've seen it. In 3 years that he's been a Laker, two of those seasons got derailed by injury, and one of them won you a championship. They gotta go now. They gotta go now. There's no waiting. There's no, oh, we got a couple of years and Anthony Davis and whatever. You do it now. You can't trust Anthony Davis. You can't trust his health. You can't trust LeBron and his health. You gotta go for it. So if they were iffy before, and now they're out in the first round, they're gonna be swinging for the fences.
Oh no! We suck again!
Yeah, they suck again. Like they gotta figure this out. And here's the other thing, by the way. This is gonna be really an important question for the Lakers this offseason. You just had those injuries. You just got knocked out in the first round. Are they the kind of team next year, as much as they're going to be a legitimate contender, just because AD and LeBron exist, are they going to be the team that those ring chasers go to? Are they going to be that level of destination? Or is it Brooklyn still? Or whoever, if somebody else comes out of the East, whoever makes it to the finals? Is it Denver? Is it like, who is that team that all those players are going to latch onto? Because that's been a big part of LeBron's advantage. People always knew he was going to the finals. He went there every year. You hopped on the LeBron James train. But if you're worried about him getting hurt, if you're worried about AD getting hurt, then maybe they don't have that same advantage that they had before. That advantage is real. Look at the Nets. Look at Blake Griffin. That advantage is real. And so looking at this situation now with the Lakers, it's like, okay, well, let's see. You know, the offseason is going to be telling in terms of what do players around the league, what do they believe with AD, with LeBron, their health, and their chance to win. So 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. Easy way to join the show. 855-212-4227. Let's talk about this Brooks Koepka DeChambeau rivalry next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, we have some old-fashioned bad blood here, and this is crazy. I mean, this whole saga with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, it's absolute gold. And we will take you through it in just a second. But first, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, a couple of things have happened. The last 2 weeks? Maybe this whole scenario is really blown up. So, apparently, Koepka and DeChambeau, two prominent golfers, they've had, like, little scuffles, if you will, like, little things, if you're paying attention to golf, over the last couple of years. So, this isn't entirely new that these two have beef. But it went to a whole other level when there was an interview of Brooks Koepka, and as he's standing there, you can see Bryson DeChambeau walking behind him, and Koepka kind of looks over his shoulder, and he sees DeChambeau, and he just goes like, oh, I bleep and hate that guy. It was something to that degree. And you can see him shaking his head. It becomes this big meme. The video gets shared everywhere. Like, it was a very viral moment. And after that, obviously, Bryson DeChambeau is well aware of the video. So you get all this back and forth between those two, social media stuff, and it's just all this, you know, it's a rivalry. It is a now full-blown, very public rivalry. But what makes it interesting is there's a little element to this of, hey, DeChambeau says to Koepka, hey, man, I'm in your head. It's nice to be rent-free. Well, here's a moment at one point. This was about a week ago. This came out. Bryson DeChambeau, he's working on a swing, and somebody's taunting him a little bit.
All right, Brooksy.
Don't call me Brooksy.
So, yeah, if you can't hear that too well, he said, whoever's calling me Brooksy needs to get out of here. As in, don't call me Brooks Koepka. Do not do it. I am not Brooks Koepka. I do not like Brooks Koepka. Do not call me Brooks Koepka. So this guy called him Brooksy, which, of course, as that video goes viral and you get your next PGA event, which is the Memorial Tournament, which is happening right now, well, what happens? If someone says, don't call me that, what do? You call him that, right? It's just, it's natural instinct. My name's not Bob. It's, you know, what, Robert. And it's like, all right, Bob. You know, so as Bryson DeChambeau's golfing at the Memorial Tournament, all of these people are yelling at him, Brooksy! Hey, Brooksy! Go hit him a good one, Brooksy! Four, Brooksy! Like, they're taunting the guy. So, all these people, who knows if they're actually fans of Koepka or not, but they're going after DeChambeau. They're going after him hard, right? So, as this is happening, which I don't know how often it happens to this kind of degree at a golf event, but these people, however many, were kicked out of the tournament. They were escorted out by security. Now, DeChambeau said, he's like, yeah, I don't have anything to do with that. I think it's flattering. I have no idea if he really feels that way or not. But either way, these people were kicked out of the tournament. So here's where things really take a bizarre and fascinating turn. Is after all of that happens, Brooks Koepka posts a video on social media, and listen to this.
What's up, guys? It's Brooksy. Just wanted to say, hey, thank you guys for the support. I heard a bunch of you were shouting my name at the golf tournament today. I know I'm not playing, but thank you guys for showing support. And if your time was, I don't know, say cut short at the golf tournament today, DM Michelob Ultra, and we're going to be giving out 50 cases of beer to the first 50 people in case their time was cut short, had any trouble at the tournament. But just as a thank you for showing support. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
They're giving cases of beer away to people that were thrown out of a golf event for taunting. Like, I can't believe they're doing that. I really can't. Like, there are times where you look at certain situations. Now, because I have two very different reactions and feelings that are living inside my head at the same time. One is, this is great. This is great. Like, this is great, right? This is great. For somebody that is, I mean, for golf, generally doesn't do much for me. Just, you know, there are times where I can get into it occasionally, like the match and certain stuff. I watch maybe the final of a tournament here and there. So I'm a casual, if you will. But, man, when you get something like this, now you're locked into golf. You know what I mean? You're like, wow, look at these
two
guys.
You like that, old man?
Yeah.
You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
And there they are, live on the golf course, duking it out. Like, that's exciting. That is interesting. That gets everybody tuned in, right? Think of reality television. My girlfriend loves Vanderpump Rules. That show is garbage. It is absolute filth. It's a terrible show. But you know what? It's beautiful people fighting each other. They're yelling. There's drama. There's back talking. You know what I mean? There's people sleeping around. Like, it's just all that gross, grimy stuff. It gets ratings. People tune in. They like it. Well, now you're getting that. I mean, you have a professional golfer. This guy is a pro. He is one of the biggest names the sport has. And he's going out publicly and saying to everybody that supports me, or at the very least hates DeChambeau, thank you for disrupting a golf event so much that you were thrown out. I would like to thank you with a case of beer. I mean,
hey, vodka.
That's the, and maybe that's where it progresses to. Maybe that's where it goes next. But he's giving out beer to these people. Like, that's great. The level of trolling that goes into it. Can we play the intro of it again, by the way? Like, the way that at the front of it, because he's, the whole thing is DeChambeau's being called Brooksy, and he opens the video like,
what's
this
up, guys? It's Brooksy. Yeah. Just wanted to say, hey, thank you guys for the support. I heard a bunch of you were shouting my name.
Yeah, it's Brooksy. Like, he's just... It's so wonderfully evil.
The guy is drunk.
He's drunk on power. And for the people who got thrown out, they will get drunk because they're getting a full case of beer. They're getting a full... He's going to send... If you can prove that you were forcibly removed by security from my league's event, I will reward you with a case of beer. Like, that is the part of me that's screaming out that this is so much fun. This is great. Like, this is great for golf. It's what a wonderful thing to develop this clip that was, and this all starts from a clip, the Brooks Koepka clip that was not initially aired. They interviewed him. That exchange happens where he goes like, "Oh, here comes DeChambeau," and once that happens, they didn't air it, but somebody saw that clip and the majesty of it, and they leaked it. Which maybe it cost him a job, maybe it didn't, but. To put that out, and then now it turns into all of this. What a blessing for the PGA Tour. I mean, really, you can't ask for anything better. They are welcome. Like, this is so good for them because I'm locked into this now. You know, I'm going to be following this rivalry. I want to see what happens back and forth. I wasn't following these guys on Twitter. Now I am. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in. This is fun. This is exciting. This is great. But I do have that other side of me. I do have that other opinion on the other side. Like, there's a finger wagging in my head that's like, dude, this is a league event. Like, you are supplying beer to people that just got thrown out of the PGA Tour event for heckling. They got tossed. If I was the PGA Tour, if I was anybody that was a legitimate, like, big-time official with any kind of weight and say in things on the PGA Tour, and I saw that Brooks Koepka was running a promotion, a spot. He's getting paid to do it, by the way, I would imagine. He mentions a brand. So you've got a sponsored promotion that is, hey, for everybody who got thrown out of the tournament, well, let me tell you something, you get a case of beer. Well, what does that do? Like, you know exactly what's going to happen. Oh, all these guys yelled Brooksy at DeChambeau. So now they got cases of beer. Well, would you like a free case of beer? Yes, I would like a free case of beer. Okay, let's go to the next tournament and let's find DeChambeau. And I don't know, let's put on the old rainbow wig. Let's go back to the 70s. We'll put on the rainbow wig and we'll hold up big signs that say Brooksy. And we'll just follow DeChambeau around. You know what I mean? Like, you're just... As a league official, I would be horrified by this, and I would not be surprised at all if they brought the hammer down. Like, you can't encourage that. You know what I mean? I'll say it. You can't actively encourage that. If you're a player and you have something like this going on, you can, like, making the nod with Brooksy and all is one thing, but to openly be like, listen, guys, let me reward you for this with beer is like, whoa. That's a shocking twist to all of this. The video's great. I mean, really, it is. It is great. It is fun. It is interesting. It is exciting. It is about as good for golf as it could possibly get. But if they start to get all sorts of real nonsense going on at these courses, that's going to be a monster problem. And so what happens? How does this escalate? I can't wait to see where it goes. And that's the thing. Golf wins. I can't wait to see where this goes. What happens? What happens tomorrow? You know, like, what happens tomorrow? Or should I say today? Because today on CBS, the next stop on the PGA Tour features several of the top players in the world, including Justin Thomas, DeChambeau, don't call me Brooksy DeChambeau, Fowler, and Rory McIlroy, all competing at the Memorial Tournament. Live coverage continues today at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific on CBS. What happens today? What happens? I am so curious to see. And do you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's Vince Quinn is where you can find me. It's all one word. It's Vince Quinn. Because, like, for me, and if you have background, by the way, if you're somebody who's a big golf fan and has more of the background before the video leaked, before all of this in the past, you know, 2 weeks or so, as it's all really blown up publicly in front of our eyes. What was that beef before? If you could clue me in a little bit of, like, what the background is with these two, and really, because I don't know, like, what the sides are. You know what I mean? Like, is there generally support? Like, is Koepka the more popular golfer? I just don't know. So I would love information on this as more of a casual with golf. And now I am just fully enthralled with the rivalry and how this thing is blown up. So 855-212-4227. That's how you can give me a call. We've been talking about a lot of things so far. Another weird sports thing that I got to tell you, this floored me in a totally different way. But they had a Tom Brady rookie card, signed rookie card, and it sold at an auction for $3 million. And that's not the biggest part of this. The Tom Brady rookie card for $3 million, not
straight
the biggest
cash,
part.
Homie.
Maybe it was straight cash. But there's been a couple of those rookie cards that have sold. Tom Brady rookie cards recently have just been popping up on the market. They've been showing up. There's been articles written about it for the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. And they're going for crazy amounts of money. So now you get one that goes for $3 million. But here was the thing that surprised me. And I want to ask you. So think about this for a moment. Okay, Tom Brady signed rookie card goes for $3 million. Now, what do you think the price is? I wish we had the Price is Right music here. Like, da-na-da-na, da-na-da-na. So just imagine me singing the Price is Right theme as I'm saying this to you. So how much do you think it costs to buy the ball, the actual game-used ball that Tom Brady had in his hands on the field in the first game where he threw a touchdown pass, the first ball that he took from under center and dropped back in the pocket and looked and threw and completed and scored the first touchdown of the greatest career that football has ever seen? Because if a signed rookie card is going for $3 million, that ball's got to be worth what? Like $15 million? I mean, like, that ball's got to be crazy valuable. It's a game-used ball. It's his first ever touchdown. Like, that ball is to be worth crazy amounts of money. Sold for $425,000. Not even a sixth of a signed rookie card. How is a game-used first-ever touchdown ball? Like, that is such a unique, specific item rather than a signed rookie card. I just don't understand that. And, like, on some level, it's just, what would you rather have? Throw money aside. If you could just, if somebody just walked up to you and they were like, all right, would you rather have this signed rookie card that's in my hand, or would you rather have this game-used actual first ever touchdown ball that Tom Brady ever threw, what would you take? Because it's, for me, it's easy. Grisefo, what would you rather have? Game used ball from Tom Brady, signed rookie card.
The card.
Really? Why would you rather have the card?
Because there's less of the card made. The card is more rare.
The card's more rare than the football?
Right, because in reality, there are other Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have thrown their first touchdown pass. And probably this card where probably like 10 of them were made.
Wow. See, I...
Like, whenever a card is going for that much money, the scarcity of the card is immense.
And that's got to be it, but it's the first ever touchdown ball that he's ever thrown.
Right, but like, you know, John Elway has a first touchdown. What's that worth?
Well, he's also got rookie cards. Right? He's got signed rookie cards.
But who knows? Might be less of John Elway's rookie card. Or there might be more of it. Whenever a card like that is signed goes for that much money, it's because there's probably 10 of them on the earth.
And I can get that. I can get the idea that a card could sell for that much, but to think that the ball is less valuable, is that's the thing I like totally, seriously, legitimately do not understand. I just don't understand how the ball isn't worth it. Like, the guy actually held the ball in his hands. It was in an NFL game. He placed the pass. He threw the touchdown. It's the first.
Is the ball signed?
I believe so, yeah.
Now, you don't know for sure.
I'll double check it. But I'm pretty sure that Tom Brady's first ever touchdown ball is signed and that sold for $425K. I wrote that down, but let's see. Touchdown. Well, how about this? I'll figure that out during the break. And if you've got information on this, like if you can actually explain to me, if you're a collector or whatever, if you're hip to this kind of thing, and you can let me in on how that's possible, because I don't get it. I would take the ball in a heartbeat, and not only do I think the ball's a cooler item, but I would just figure it was worth more. It seemed obvious to me, and I was not even remotely close. So 855-212-4227. That's how you get in, 855-212-4227. You can also join on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.